Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America, sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
And you got a great dog there, kid.
By the way, that is Danielle Lippi. She's a student here at the university, and she's a Republican. She's got a question for you. Go ahead, Danielle.
Okay. But your dog's a Democrat, I can tell. I'm teasing. I'm a big dog person. I'm sorry.
Her name's Wonder.
Okay.
You're a big dog person. How many times has his dog bitten anybody?
Didn't they have to just put their dog down recently at the White House?
The other one died. They had two of them. They had an older one, I think, named Major, and then they had a younger, a German Shepherd. And I'm Heidi Harris in for Annie Fry. You know what? German Shepherds are fantastic dogs. They happen to be pretty much my favorite breed of dog. But they're not good for every situation. Okay, they're not good in busy rooms with a lot of people walking around. They're protective. Anyway, you know, Joe Biden.
That was probably the best moment from last night, because that was a decent joke. I gotta get we gotta give him credit when he does something good. Let's go ahead and give him the thumbs up. When that was an okay joke.
Poor Joe.
Your dog's a Democrat. Okay, that's what I meant.
Okay.
I don't get it.
Heidi doesn't like it.
I don't think
we've lost Heidi.
My dogs are Democrats too. You know why? They don't work for nothing around here.
Oh.
Right? I don't see them out there working. I don't see them out there herding sheep, guarding the house. My dogs don't do squat, and they still get fed every day. How's
yeah.
that?
We got to put fake weights on their back to make them feel like they're working. That's how lazy they are.
You know, just not that long ago, I bought a backpack that my dog can wear while hiking to carry dog's own water. Have you ever seen those?
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
You buy a little backpack, fits on their back, and it holds a bunch of those little water bottles, okay? Because I used to haul a gallon of water up the mountain myself, and I'm like, wait a second here.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this
Make
picture?
Make the dog do it.
Right. Why am I hauling this stuff up the mountain? Haul your own water, pal. So that's what I do now. But that's
I had a St. Bernard until a couple years ago. Not
great.
Quite full size like Beethoven St. Bernard, but a St. Bernard for sure.
Yeah, they're great.
And it was like a short hair, so a little bit different looking. And they always said, oh, these are great mountain dogs, and they would do all this work, and they carry the barrel under their chin and all that stuff. That dog could never have done a day's work in its life. That was the laziest thing I've ever seen, and we loved her for it. We loved that.
I know.
That was a lazy, lovable dog.
That's how we are.
Dog.
We're Americans. We spoil our dogs
yeah.
rotten. That's what it comes down to. Here's a crazy story. A couple of things we're going to get to this hour. Kevin Wheeler is going to join us from KMOX, as you know. We'll probably talk a little bit about the Olympics, and we'll talk about this new rule that the NFL has about forfeiting games if a game has to be canceled because somebody unvaccinated causes COVID-19. We'll get to that. coming up with Kevin Wheeler. I wanted to mention this. The New Mexico Supreme Court has now ruled that gas stations have a legal duty not to sell gasoline to intoxicated drivers.
I don't like it.
Well, yeah, because most of the time when I get gas, what do you use? Your credit card. How do they know if you're drunk? Because you can't find where the nozzle goes? I don't know.
Exactly. We were going to talk about this story yesterday, and me and Jake were actually talking about it off air because it's an interesting story.
It is an interesting story.
You're talking about liability and who's liable if somebody gets hurt because of a drunk driver. I really don't think that the gas station should be held responsible. But he talked about having friends who worked at gas stations that they monitor that kind of stuff pretty carefully, which I wasn't aware of, Jake.
Yeah.
Wait, let me back up, Jake, before we get to you on this. If people come inside, you monitor? I mean, that would be obvious, but what if they're outside?
So I don't know if this is universal with all gas stations. I'd be honestly surprised if it wasn't, but I had a buddy who worked at a gas station for a couple of years, and he would tell me that they have cameras out there, and he has a monitor for, I don't know if it's like a few pumps or every individual pump or whatever, but whenever somebody would be kind of acting a little bit sketchy, because he would keep an eye on the screens, he would watch that pump a little closely just to see what was going on. And like, I was never there because I would go up there to get a soda and say hey or whatever, but like, and he'd be watching the monitor. He'd be like, hold on, I got to watch this guy on pump whatever because, you know.
Interesting. Here's the question. I don't know the answer to this. Can he turn the pump off from inside?
I don't know.
Like what you're seeing?
I think so, because a lot of times, don't they have to get pre-approval? You know, they call out to you, and they say, pump four, you're good to go.
Well, usually you go in. I mean, you should go in, you know, $20 on pump number six, and it just starts flowing,
ideally. I guess he could shut it off. I don't know. I don't. Because what would be the legality of that? Like, some guy's obviously drunk and filling up his car. Like, could you, as the clerk, stop the gas?
Well, that's the thing. And now the court ruled that in the situation where the driver's paying directly at the pump, that would be an individual situation decided by a jury in individual cases. Also, Tennessee holds gas station attendants liable for selling gas to drunk drivers. So it's kind of it comes from a 2011 case in which a drunk driver was involved in a fatal crash after leaving the gas station. Shortly after he left, he went on the wrong side of the road, killed some people. But I'm just trying to figure out, I mean, I don't think anybody would obviously sell gas to somebody they knew was drunk. I can't imagine that happening, but you don't know. I mean, you can't watch everything.
I could see a gas station being liable if it was clearly this guy is drunk, but they didn't notify the police. Like, wouldn't that be the only move that you have?
That seems like the only play that you should have.
Right. It's like,
I don't think you should. The gas station should be liable, because what if the guy's not watching close enough, or you're drunk, but you're not a stumbling drunk. You know, you're a slurring drunk, but
right?
You walk fine.
Right.
You can't tell that person's drunk. They go out and they kill a family. Well, then you're going to come back to the gas station and say, well, he was drunk. Well, how I didn't know. I couldn't tell
that
he was drunk, but then you're liable.
Right about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe they call the cops if they really suspect something. But you're right. I mean, I think that's putting a lot on a clerk who's doing 14 other things at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah, because what happens if it's like an overnight shift and it's one guy that's stocking shelves and cleaning the bathrooms and doing everything he has to do?
Right.
Yeah, like,
I could see them trying to pass a law that you know, it's at least a little more enforceable, that if you see something suspicious, call the police and say, look, I think you might want to take a look. This guy looked like he was drunk. He's getting back in his car. I couldn't quite tell. And that you put a little more responsibility on the people in the gas station for that. But
right.
I don't know how you're supposed to say, no, I can't sell you gas. Because you could just think somebody was drunk who's not, you know? Like, if you have a speech impediment or something, you go, oh, no, you're drunk. No, I don't. I have a speech impediment.
It all comes down to the observational skills of the clerk or clerks. And then, of course, like you were saying, what if it's not a stumbling drunk? What if somebody that he walks in, but he's not a slurring drunk either? And he's perfectly fine, but everything going on up here is not fine. But everything on the outside,
alcohol,
you can't tell.
Right. Alcohol affects people differently. I've done, used to do, believe it or not, every year during DUI Awareness Month, in Vegas, we used to have the highway patrol come in, and they would test my blood alcohol, and I would literally drink on the air in the morning.
Oh, that's awesome.
We did this every year, and they would test me after one or two drinks or whatever. And now I can, believe it or not, I know this is going to shock you, I can talk long after I can't really walk very well, right? So if I were to talk.
That's how I am too.
Exactly. So I can keep talking. So you may think you're okay, but you can be physically, to my knowledge, in every state, you can be arrested for DUI even if you come under the legal limit if they feel you're impaired. Because I feel impaired much lower than the actual blood alcohol content allowed in the state.
Now, are you a happy drunk or are you an angry drunk?
I'm a happy drunk. Very happy.
Me too. I'm friends with
everybody.
I
feel like either answer wouldn't have surprised me.
Well, you know what I think? I think the real you comes out when you're drinking.
Oh, for sure.
And as crusty as I can be about certain things like politicians ripping us off and things like that, I'm a very happy person. I'm a happy, grateful, I don't drink much, but when I do, and I've had more than one time in my life been, inebriated, you just, I'm like that. I'm not angry, but I know people who are. Boy, the mask comes off real fast. You get a couple beers in them.
I don't think I've ever encountered an angry drunk, at least not.
Somebody who just starts complaining.
Yeah.
They start talking about how everything's messed up and
yeah.
That's what I mean, not necessarily
No, I don't think I've been around anybody that was if they are an angry drunk, they certainly weren't angry around me. But other than that, every drunk I've ever been around has been happy go lucky, won't stop talking. Kinda.
Or they might say things they otherwise wouldn't say. They might be more critical of things. They might not. I used to know a girl who was a really nice girl, easygoing girl, but when she got drunk, she got so mean.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't really gotten drunk lately, but when I did, back when I was younger a couple times, I know for sure that I embarrassed myself because I would walk around telling everybody how much I loved them.
Oh, I'm the emotional drunk too. If I'm ever out and somebody texts me, like a buddy of mine who I haven't talked to in a while, if I'm drunk enough, I'll be like, "Hey man, just FYI, like I love you, buddy.
Yeah,
you're awesome.
I think that when you are in a situation where you have some kind of control over what's happening and somebody you think is drunk. I remember one time years ago, I walked into there was a restaurant and a bar, and there were two next to each other. And I went into the wrong one looking for a friend of mine who was playing in a band. And I looked around, I said, there's no stage here. They're not here. And right as I walked in, I said to this guy who was walking out, I said, is there a band playing somewhere I don't see? And he goes, oh, I don't know. And he had his car keys in his hand, had a cup, a go cup, and he was wasted. And I said, I'll tell you what, buddy, why don't you come with me? We're going to go to the next place. And I literally locked arms with him and took him over to the next place, sat down with him for about 2 hours till my husband showed up like a half an hour later. My friends were playing in this band. I put his car keys in my purse, and I didn't let this guy move for like 2 hours.
And wait, this was a stranger?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Look at you. Good Samaritan.
And the hostess said to me, thank you. Because she didn't know what to do. The guy was wasted and headed for his car. And I don't know. Turned out he was a lawyer. How funny is that? I found that out later on. But I just sat with him at the table and didn't give him his keys back. And we all had a good time. And we talked. And my husband showed up. And another friend showed up. We had a really good time. But you aren't leaving. So, I can't control everything, but I stopped that guy.
So tying that into the gas station thing, if you're at a restaurant and a waitress or a waiter or something, not like manager, not like
an
owner.
Yeah,
like if someone is so clearly drunk, are they allowed to take any kind of action to prevent that guy from driving? Or do they have to go tell their manager? And what can the manager even do?
Well, that's the problem. Sometimes you don't know, especially if people are paying for the alcohol and that's what they expect. When I was a waitress in a casino years ago, cocktail waitress, I'd have people in there once in a while. I had one guy used to come in there every day, play poker, and he wanted vodka. He wanted screwdrivers, right? So he was already drunk when he got there. So I just brought him plain orange juice. For years, the guy never knew. Years, just plain orange juice. So here's what happened. The guy wasn't paying for it anyway. Who cares? He didn't get drunk. He got to stay all day instead of getting kicked out after an hour because he was drunk. He was happy. I was happy. Hoo-hoo. There you go.
That's a good story. But it does tie back around. Like in New Mexico, if they're going to start prosecuting the gas station, doesn't it make more sense that they would try to start prosecuting a bar that was are there laws like that now? I don't know. It seems like there already would be things like that.
And then what happens if a clerk calls the cops and the guy wasn't drunk at all? Then you wasted the police officer's time. You wasted that guy's time. You wasted your own time.
But it's wasting. And there are some states that have dram shop laws where you're held liable for something that happens. Other states, you're not. It just depends. But ultimately, you've got to be responsible for your own behavior. But the problem is when you're drinking, what's the first thing that goes? Your judgment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So after you've had one or two, you think you're fine. I mean, and how many cops, they'll all tell you this. You pull somebody over. First of all, they think they're fine. It's easier to drive than to walk, I guess, when you're drunk. Then they'll tell the cop, I had two beers. That's what they always say, two beers. They might not remember.
They're holding
up three
fingers, too.
Right, exactly. Three fingers.
they're holding up two fingers on each hand.
Ossifer, I only had two.
Two beers.
I had that test one time. I got pulled over by the highway patrol coming back from skiing one time. And he said, were you drinking on the mountain? I'm not. Why would I drink when I'm skiing? Can we start with Sonny Bono? I can't ski, babe. Why would I ski and drink? Why would anyone ski and drink? Okay, first of all, I'm not that good a skier. And I said, no, sir, I was not drinking on the mountain. And he made me get out of the car. Cars are whizzing by. I'm out there doing, it's called the horizontal gaze nystagmus test. You know, when they make you look at the
touch your nose
their finger.
And all that. Yeah.
Yeah, they do the finger, the nose. I'm out there like an idiot. Cars are whizzing by. They're like, ah, sucker. I was not drunk. I hadn't been drinking anything. And he's got me out there, highway patrol, and I'm embarrassed, but I wasn't drunk, thank God.
Did he make you do the backwards alphabet?
Because, well, he realized when I passed the horizontal gaze nystagmus test that I was okay. He realized at that point.
Can you do the backwards alphabet even if you're sober?
No way.
Can I have some time on that and get back to you?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we'll do it after the break. we'll try it out.
All right, coming up, we'll talk a little sports with Kevin Wheeler from KMOX. We're going to get to the Eric Clapton story. He's made a statement now about who he is willing to perform in front of. That's pretty interesting. And we'll talk about the guy who showed up at an emergency room with a 12-year-old girl who was in labor, and he doesn't know why people are upset that she's 12 and he's 24. We'll get to that coming up on The Annie Fry Show. I'm Heidi Harris, in for Annie Fry.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Heidi Harris, in for Annie Fry. How you doing? This NFL thing is fascinating to me. Kevin Wheeler's here from KMOX Sports. How are you, Kevin?
I'm good. What's new?
I'm looking at this NFL thing. This is a big deal. Apparently, the NFL is going to, if their game gets canceled because somebody gets COVID, he's not vaccinated, they're not only are they going to forfeit the game, nobody's even getting paid, I guess, for that week, huh?
It's crazy. You know, they're doing the same kind of thing in college now, too. The conferences, like the SEC and all that, they're saying the same kind of thing, that if you're not gonna be able to get your team where you need to be in terms of vaccine coverage, we don't have the ability anymore to push these games around and move them like we did last year and all of that. We're going to make sure that, heck, if there's a problem, then that's just a loss. And I got a feeling it won't end up being that big of a deal. I have a feeling it's not going to happen very much. But I guess you obviously never know. And with every, you know, it's especially, you know, well, really either one of these sports, but the fact that, you know, every state is so much different, right? I mean, a team in Alabama has, you know, much higher standard to meet than a team that's, let's say, I don't know, where were some of the higher percentages in vaccinations. I don't know if it's Illinois or not, but I know that that's going to be a major thing. And like, look, they're just putting it on all these guys and saying, and really, you know, individuals, right, not just teams, but putting it on all of them and said, hey, listen, you guys got to take care of this, because if you don't, you lose out.
But here's the thing. I speak with Kevin Wheeler from KMOX. What I don't understand is this. There are people who are vaccinated, obviously, who are still getting COVID. Everybody freaks out. We're going to shut everything down, forfeit the game, or close things down. When I got COVID, the radio station I worked for, nobody else went home. I went home. When somebody else got it, they went home. Somebody else who worked in the same room with me didn't get it, and I got it. So go figure. My point is that if somebody's gotten this and they're vaccinated, and they're an asymptomatic spreader, or they test positive for this Delta variant, what are you going to do? You're going to blame the whole team? You're not going to know if it came from somebody on the team who was unvaccinated or vaccinated, because those people are still getting it.
Right, and that's the thing is, you know, like if you look at how it went down last year, so we'll stick with the NFL on this because they had pretty clear protocol. It doesn't mean one or two positives doesn't mean shut the whole thing down.
Right.
They go through their whole contact tracing program, and then, okay, so this player, that player, that player, they can't play, or they have to sit for 2 days, or they have to retest every couple of days, right? They have these different protocols for every guy that, depending on your level of contact with the person. So what they're saying is, if you can't field a team, so you think about this, the NFL, you know, they have a 54-man roster. if you can't field 35 guys, well, then you're in a forfeit. So it's going to have to take a major, major problem for a team to have to sit that many people, because that didn't even happen last year pre-vaccine.
Right. Right. It'll be interesting to see what happens, how enforceable this is. That's the whole point. And once again, I don't know how they're going to try to blame somebody. They're basically saying, as you see, that it's the unvaccinated players they're going to try to blame this on. They're going to try to blame everything on unvaccinated people. And that's unfortunate, because it's not necessarily those people who are getting this.
No, and I don't know that they're trying to blame. I think I mean, look, we all know how this goes, right? I mean, like, what does any major business want to avoid, right? They want to avoid any liability. So I'm sure that, you know, there's a lot of lawyers that have something to say about how they want to go about this. That way, if something ever terrible did happen, hey, we took all of our steps, we covered all the protocols, and you follow on down the line.
Yeah, well, it makes no sense to me. And I don't know how people are feeling. You know, what are you hearing from people, KMOX, about the NFL playing the Black National Anthem first? Do people care? Are they just disgusted with the NFL in general? What are they saying? Maybe some people don't care.
I think it's probably, I mean, like, for example, you know, we've heard this all along in the last few years, right? Regardless of what's happening, there are a lot of people that didn't like, for example, players taking a knee, right? It really didn't end up impacting ratings very much. It didn't end. I mean, people are going to be bad about it. I mean, there's no question about that. And some people will walk away. Some people will say, I don't like this. I don't think it's necessary. For whatever reason, this doesn't go along with what I believe. And I think other people are going to be like, you know what? I want to watch football. I got 150. I got $200 on this game. I'm not going to care about it. Watch the game, and that's it. You know, I mean, like, I really think there will be people that are, like anything, there are going to be people that are ticked off about it. There will be a percentage that walk away. And I think the rest of them are going to be like, hey, it's football. I don't watch the pregame anyway.
Yeah, there's probably a lot to be said for that. We're speaking with Kevin Wheeler from KMOX. You know, it's let's talk about the Cardinals. Ryan wants to talk about the Cardinals.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to, Kevin, before we get into the deep stuff with the Cardinals, just transitioning from that conversation to the Cardinals, what has COVID impacted all the major sports as much this year as, well, golf I've seen a lot, but is it impacting baseball as much as it was?
Not really.
I mean, there are a few
players here and there that end up on the COVID list. Like the Yankees have, I think, three or four guys that have to sit out for about another 5 or 6 days. So they're going to miss 10 days, assuming the negative tests come back. But no, not really. I mean, you know, we saw what happened with the Cardinals last year, right? I mean, they had their outbreak. Everything got shut down for more than 3 weeks, and then they had to make it all up in a 30-day span. I mean, they played, you know, a ridiculous number of games in a short amount of time to get them all in. And they've had nothing like that this year. They haven't had anybody that I'm aware of that's missed games because they're on the COVID list. You might have had some people that had some scares here and there, but no, Major League Baseball has not been anywhere near as impacted by it this year as it was last year.
Yeah, and has that been because COVID has just gotten better, or has MLB changed their policy toward COVID?
Both, I think. Okay. I mean, they changed a lot of the restrictions, right, for all of the teams that meet a certain standard. They test less. You know, if they have a certain, you know, I think it's 85%, or it might not quite be that high. It's 80-85% of the roster has been vaccinated. They won't test them as often. They don't have to follow as many strict protocols. But the reality is, fewer people are coming up positive, right? I mean, that's the fact. And the ones that do, they end up, you know, being placed on the COVID list. They've got specific rules, like, you know, you got to sit out the 10 days. You got to isolate. You know, when you if you test positive for 2 or 3 days in a row, you're back. Test negative 2 or 3 days in a row, well, you're back. You're all good to go. And I haven't heard anybody, though, you know, who any of the players that did test positive that have had seriously negative outcomes or impacts, right? I mean, we heard that from some of the Cardinals last year. You know, Carlos Martinez had a really tough time with it. You know, Paul DeJong didn't really recover from it last year, even though he recovered. I mean, he didn't really get back to being himself, and he never really was physically what he needed to be. But haven't seen that at all in baseball this year. It's been pretty smooth.
Yeah, are the Cardinals back to full capacity, and are they rare? Is that the same across the country, or is it different by state and by city?
Yeah, Cards are back at full capacity. That was, first or second homestand in June. So okay. It's been a little bit more than a month now that they've been basically full capacity. And And, you know, we've seen this, you know, with the Cubs in town, they're not totally sold out, you know, that's the difference, you know. In the past, Cards Cubs can mean, you know, 43,000 people at the games. And they've been in the mid 30s, upper 30s here in this series, but it's also weekdays instead of weekends. And let's also be honest, neither team is performing all that great, right? Yeah. I mean, that's part of why you may have, you know, a few thousand fewer than you normally would. But yeah, they're normal, and it's still a little bit different in other places, but most places right now are full open and ready to go.
So the Cardinals are at 48-48. They're you know, right even there. Is this? I think we've talked to you before that you were expecting them to be a little bit above 500. Is this kind of what you're expecting, or we below where they should be right now?
They're definitely below where they should be. It's not like it's 10 or 15 games worse, right? But they should definitely be a handful of games better. And you know, when you're looking at how maddening it is for fans, and I'm sure for, you know, the team too, I'm sure the front office, I'm sure the coaching staff is confused as to why they're having such a problem with walking people and hitting batters. I mean, like, you know, it's been unusual, right? I mean, they've allowed the most walks, hit the most batters, and had the most wild pitches in baseball this year. And that is completely different than what the Cardinals are year in and year out. And that's probably, I mean, there are a lot of things that go into being good and winning a handful more games, but that's probably the difference between them being where they are and where they should be.
Yeah, I keep seeing that people are waiting with bated breath for Miles Michaelis to return, as if that's going to change everything. How close is it that he could return, and how much will it change things?
Well, he's set to be on a rehab assignment this weekend, but he's going to need a little time to build up and get himself physically ready. So they're talking about, you know, that hopefully mid-August minus any setbacks. So basically we're looking at 2.5 weeks to get him up to you know, like major league speed, not just, you know, from, you know, I'm not talking about velocity or anything. Like, I'm talking about the number of innings and pitches he's going to be able to throw and, you know, recovering from each outing and being ready to go. And he'll definitely help, man. I mean, you know, we talked about that issue with walks and stuff. He's a strike thrower. So having a, you know, one of your more proven starters back should be a boost, but, you know, the question is, how far back are you behind Milwaukee by the time you get him? And then, you know, it sounds like Jack Flaherty's right behind him, you know, maybe a week and a half behind him. If you get those guys back and you still have a shot, well, that's going to enhance your chances for sure.
Yeah.
Kevin Wheeler, KMOX, our sister station, thank you for the update. Great talking to you again.
Glad to do it. Anytime. You guys take care.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah. I don't know what COVID's going to do to any season this year. I really don't know how much it's going to affect anything.
Seems like a weird policy that you were talking about with the NFL to start this segment, that they're going to treat people who get COVID differently if they're unvaccinated versus if they're vaccinated. That seems
exactly right.
I mean, that's obviously putting pressure on people to get vaccinated.
Of course.
But it doesn't, outside of the obvious pressure campaign that they're mounting there, it doesn't make any sense for the gameplay on the field or the way that the teams would respond to it.
Yeah, and apparently unless they have an agreement with the NFLPA, they're not going to be able to do it. The Players Association, they're not going to be able to do this. They can't enforce it. They can't force them to get the vaccine. So they try to make your life miserable instead.
Right.
That's what it comes down to.
And use the and pressure the teams to pressure the players, right?
Well, isn't that the truth? The government can't be everywhere, so they've turned us against each other. That's what they've done for a year and a half here.
Well, they're powerful enough that they can do things like this. They hit people in the pocketbook because they have endless pockets. So they do things like this. They do a weird story to tie into it, but the Larry Elder story out of California. You know, that Secretary of State that said, no, you can't run because I found a typo on your form or something. Yeah. Well, that doesn't cost her any money, but it cost Larry Elder tons of court fees. And then he won, so he's back on the ballot. But he had to spend a bunch of money to do that. That's the way the government works.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Absolutely. Want to mention another news when it comes to the Olympics. The kneeling Olympians, remember those folks? Anyone who's done that apparently is going to be shown in the highlights and on social media, according to the AP. Really?
So we want to show America that this is America.
Right. We want to show these other countries, when people are beating our doors down to get into this country, how much it sucks because these people don't appreciate it. I'm so glad the women's soccer team got their butts kicked by Sweden. I know it's not over for them, but they deserve it. They don't appreciate our country. They really don't. So sick of these people. All right. Coming up, Eric Clapton has taken a stand on whether or not people should be vaccinated at places where he's playing. We'll get to that. And the guy who walked into a hospital with a 12-year-old girl in labor, doesn't understand why the staff there said, what, you're the father? There's a problem here. We'll get to that coming up next on The Annie Fry Show. I'm Heidi Harris, in for Annie Fry.
When will children under 12 be able to get vaccinated?
Soon, I believe. Now, look, one of the things that I committed to do when I got elected, I said
how
I
soon
would,
as soon, Mr. President, not to
well, I, and that's what, let me finish the question. The answer, soon in the sense that I do not tell any scientists what they should do. I do not interfere. And so they are doing the examinations now, the testing now, and making the decision now.
Oh, brother. I got a round of applause for that. You don't tell scientists what to do? Okay. Oh, brother. Joe Biden last night. I'm sure most of you didn't watch it. I tried. I really did. I thought, you know, just for the news value, I should watch the President of the United States talk. And I was out in like 5 minutes. I couldn't take it. I just couldn't take it.
Yeah, anytime he says, here's what we're not doing, you got to go, are we sure? Let's look into this to see if you actually are doing this. Because the CDC and people at the CDC have said multiple times now that their job is getting too political. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean it's, I guess he personally isn't talking to them? Because it sounds like the administration is.
Yeah, no kidding. It's crazy land. All right, a couple quick stories here. I want to applaud Eric Clapton. I don't know if you've been following this. You guys are both musicians. You both play instruments, right?
I do.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll give it all to Jake. So we know what a great guitar player Eric Clapton is. Did you know that he got the vaccine and had a lot of problems with the vaccine? Did you know that?
I did. Yeah, I saw that news story. Yeah.
He said that his hands and feet were either frozen, numb, or hot, pretty much useless for 2 weeks. After he got the first shot at AstraZeneca, he said he was worried he'd never play again. Can you even imagine? He said, I finally recovered and was told it would take 12 weeks before the second one. So he obviously has got some concerns about it. But he's come out and said that unless there are provisions made for everybody to attend concerts, in other words, they're not segregating people by vaccines, he said, I'm not going to be there.
Okay, random question. Is Eric Clapton still doing a lot of concerts? Because I don't hear of him touring much, but maybe he is.
Well, I don't think anybody's toured much over the last year.
Yes.
But I think what it comes down to is he's the kind of guy who, when he shows up, everybody shows up because he's so amazing. Probably not doing a lot of, you know, some of these bands, they got to keep going constantly because they're not, you know, they're not that big. They're not going to fill that many arenas. It's not that big a deal that they're in town again. In Eric Clapton's case, you know, obviously it's a big deal. But Boris Johnson in the UK stated on Monday, at the end of September, all people over 18 will have had their chance to be double jabbed. He said people entering nightclubs or other crowded venues will need to provide proof they've been vaccinated against COVID-19. To your point, Ryan, I don't know how big the outcry is or the demand for Eric Clapton. I don't know.
I bet
I really
he's playing.
Know.
He's playing venues like River City Casino here in St. Louis. Like it's like because there is a cool venue at River City Casino. But the only shows that whenever I was doing promo for a rock station, they was all like Eric Clapton and like older
classic artists.
Yeah, classic artists that are kind of
they can still pull pretty big crowds.
Oh, yeah, they can pull,
but
their
they're not
fans.
The current
right
people.
And
just
because I was curious, I had to find out how old he was. Do either of you know off the top of your head?
Yeah,
how old?
74, I think. Right,
76.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna have to give the dinger to somebody. That'll be Ryan, though.
Yes.
Eric Clapton, 76 years old.
Because we're looking at the story.
Yeah, we're looking at the story.
Oh, man.
Like
yeah,
first,
I. Well, you still got it wrong, Heidi. You said 74.
She corrected herself right before
I said
it.
Yeah. Okay, do we get a prize anyway? This is 2021. I want a prize anyway.
Yes.
There you go.
You get Jake's shirt. Free shirt.
Oh, there you go. Fantastic. All right. Well, God bless Eric Clapton. Okay. Here's a story slightly disturbing, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. 24-year-old Tulsa, Oklahoma man has been charged with first-degree rape after he allegedly impregnated a 12-year-old girl. Here's what happened. He walks in. His name is Juan Miranda Jara. He walks into the hospital with a 12-year-old girl who was in mid-labor. And not embarrassed at all, by the way. Not the least bit embarrassed. He told police he was the father, and he was confused about the commotion. She's 12. He's 24. He told police he and the child had, listen to this, been together for the past 9 months. I know, right?
This is bad. This is a bad story.
Tulsa police officer Danny Bean told the local TV station they walked in just like any other couple would be excited to deliver their newborn child. Apparently, police think that this guy was under the impression that he and the 12-year-old will be able to go home after they delivered the child. Yeah, you're leaving in cuffs, pal. I don't know where she's going.
I mean, if you're 12 years old, what does happen in that situation? Does the state say, okay, yeah, you are the mother. We want you to take care of your child. Or are you so young that they have to put you into some sort of protective custody,
I mean,
both you and the baby?
I mean, it's her kid.
I agree.
Like,
but well, what do you do in that situation?
Here's what would happen. First of all, they said that they don't believe it's an incest situation, okay? So we'll go with that. So we'll just assume it's not a relative, all right?
Yes, that's good.
So could be a cousin. Oh. I mean, obviously, it's somebody he had access to at all hours of the day and night, right? Not picking up a 12-year-old after school and taking her home. I'm assuming it's, you know, relative, cousin, somebody else's child, some girlfriend. Who knows what the situation is, right? So the first thing they're going to do is they're going to assess who the child is, obviously, how he had access to her, who knew. Somebody probably knew something and didn't say anything.
Of course.
And not only that, the child's clearly not capable of raising a child on her own at 12. If she's got a mother who, you know, maybe didn't know this. I mean, somebody's her mother. And if she's got her grandmother or somebody around who's responsible, who didn't know this was going on, then in my opinion, those people are the people that should have the baby if they didn't know this was going on. If they turned a blind eye, then that baby should go into, as far as I'm concerned, an adoptive home.
Where was this?
This was in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
So we do, I only know this just because we do some ministry in, you know, highly Latin areas of St. Louis. My church does. That there's a lot of big families that live together in very close quarters the Hispanic community. So you're right that there's almost no chance that these two people just hit it off out at the grocery store.
Yeah, where exactly did they
meet? The local playground, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about a situation where somebody else had to know what was going on. But it sounds like the culture of their home, anyway, that they're living in, was such that everybody kind of said, well, as long as he's taking care of the baby, you know, as long as he's taking care of her, that's okay.
Well, there are some people who think that way. There's no question there are some people who actually think that way.
Not in America, we don't. That's not okay.
Well, no, that is not okay. And I'm assuming he's an American citizen. If he's not, he should be thrown out of the country. I'd have to look at the whole family situation. If I were a social worker, I would say, let's look at what people are doing. Let's look at who's here, who's living in the home, who had access to the child, who knew it was going on and did nothing, and then decide from there as to whether or not this child should be, allowed to go back home with her.
It's just unfortunate because it hits home just because I've met so many people who are in these situations that you don't know. I mean, we find out a story like this because it's just such a crazy story. A guy walks into the hospital with her. But we don't know how often this kind of thing is happening to kids in any situation like this, not just within, you know, Hispanic communities. But, you know, if you've got kids and people living very close, because my wife was a teacher in inner city New Orleans for a long time, too. You wouldn't believe the amount of abuse. And it happens everywhere. And it's just so, like, it's a crazy story, but it speaks to a much larger issue in the United States that probably honestly was exacerbated by lockdowns from COVID.
Oh, probably so, because no kids able to go to school to be able to let the teachers know if they feel like telling the teachers. You know, a lot of times the whole thing with sexual abuse, and I consider myself fortunate that I have not dealt with that, but I know people who have, a lot of people who have, like we all do. When you can go to school and report it, maybe you do, but a lot of kids don't because there's shame, the family, somebody threatens them, I'll kill your dad, I'll kill your mom, I'll kill your sister, I'll kill your brother. I mean, the stories that I've heard and read about of people who've gone through this, it's horrific. It's absolutely horrific. And I guess this guy thought, it sounds like he thought culturally he wasn't doing anything wrong.
Yeah, or the kid doesn't know that it's abnormal. I mean, if you're 12 years old, you don't really have a grasp outside of the little culture that you're living within of what's normal. That's how you know what is normal. The people around you teach you the difference between right and wrong. And if they're failing at that job, you may not even know to report that kind of thing.
Well, that's the thing, too. And I'll be honest with you. There are little girls who are very, they're maturing more than they used to at a very early age, who are actively chasing boys at that age. I'm not putting any of this on the girl. Please don't misunderstand me. But she might have been flattered that this older guy liked her. I don't know anything about the situation. There are 11-year-old girls like I was. I look like I was like 8 when I was 11. Okay, I just didn't mature that quickly. Other girls are curvy and they seem to be more mature, this and that, and they're, you know, flirting with the boys. Depends on the environment they're involved in, if they're raised in a very sexualized environment. I mean, nowadays, kids watch MTV and these girls are twerking like strippers on stage. I mean, this is how a lot of young women are taught unless they're raised correctly. So they go, oh, cool, this young guy likes me.
So what we're saying is MTV needs to go back to doing music videos.
Yes, thank you very much.
We'll start there.
Yes, we'll start there.
We'll see how it goes.
But these girls are encouraged to act like porn stars from the time they're little kids in a lot of cases if their parents aren't watching what they're exposed to. And even if you are watching, they're exposed to horrible things. So that's a big factor. And then I do think a lot of girls are maturing at, you know, acting more, what's the best word, precocious at younger and younger ages.
Yeah, I mean, that's all there, and a lot of it is the media that people, parents especially, and guardians are allowing kids to see. And either they know that it's out there, and they're just kind of turning a blind eye and saying, yeah, but it's easier if I don't, or they're allowing it, and they just don't care. It's very sad.
Well, that's what we don't know. We have to have a full investigation, obviously, what the girl's situation was, who knew and didn't say anything. Then where does this baby go? You know, it probably should go to someone entirely different. But if she's got an extended family who can be trusted, then again, if this extended family thought this was all part of, hey, this is
right.
normal,
yeah, it's tough.
Then the child needs to go somewhere else. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm Heidi Harris. This is the Annie Fry Show. I'll be back again tomorrow. Jonathan Honig will join us from the Fox Business Network. You see him every week on Cavuto on the Saturday show on Fox. CapitalistPig.com. He'll be talking about the economy and what's happening with inflation. That and much more tomorrow on the Annie Fry Show.
Get more at 971talk.com.